Turn with me to the book of Job, or as I called it when I was eight, Job. The English language is kind of funny that way, isn't it, English major? Yeah. Job, the book of Job, chapter 17. Praise the Lord. Chapter 17, verse 15. Job 17, 15. Job is praying for relief here. We know the story of Job. The man lost his family, his possessions, and his health. And in chapter 15, he's praying for relief. Or chapter 17, he's praying for relief. And in verse 15, he said, "Where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it?" How many of you guys ever felt that way before? For all of you that didn't raise your hand, we'll pray for you liars. So we've all felt hopelessness at times, and we are entering the Christmas season. You say, well, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Tell that to my wife, because she's already got the whole house decorated for Christmas. And we're told that during this time of year, it is a time of oftentimes of depression, discouragement, and even suicide, or feelings of hopelessness, right? And this was the case with old Job here. He said, "Where is now my hope?" I tell you, it's a scary thing to feel hopeless. If you've ever been that way, it is the path to depression and discouragement and grief. And a lot of times counselors are trained to know when someone is going to commit suicide, because anytime they get to that place, they know we've got to get this guy in an institution so he doesn't hurt himself. But the wisdom of the counselors is to know that sometimes a person doesn't necessarily want to commit suicide, but they just want the pain to stop. And there is a real fine line between suicidal tendencies or just feeling hopeless, that I just want the pain to stop. Now, I'm going to read you a few verses from the Bible just to encourage you to talk about hopelessness. Isaiah 49:14, "But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." So this was Israel's testimony from Isaiah 49:14. Have you ever felt like God had forgotten you? I think of what Noah on the ark, and it finally said, "And the Lord remembered Noah." Now, sometimes, you know, the way the Bible has to communicate thoughts, they have to communicate it in terms that we as men and women can understand. God never really forgot Noah. Even though Genesis says the Lord remembered Noah, it just meant the Lord now begins to think about what he's going to do next. He didn't forget, "Oh, yeah, let's see, I was busy spinning whirls and commanding. Oh, yeah, I got this guy out on a boat." He didn't forget Noah. But sometimes we can feel like God has forgotten us, right? We can feel like, "Lord, hello, I'm still here. Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Why aren't you meeting my needs? Lord, why do you feel so far away?" How many of you guys have ever felt like God was far away? Have you ever prayed those prayers that felt like it bounced off the ceiling? You had no Holy Ghost goosebumps, no spirit feelings. It was just dry. It was the backside of the desert, you know. Well, of course, the Lord led Moses to the backside of the desert, and that's where the burning bush was, wasn't it? So oftentimes those dry desert places often get us closer to God. But continuing on, Jeremiah 2:25, the second half of that verse, says, "There is no hope, no, for I have loved strangers, and after them I will go." Now, this is interesting because this is the testimony of about Israel, Israel backsliding, Israel loving other gods, right, that loving strangers, implying I have a love affair with Baal or whatever. But look at that, what it says. There is no hope, for I have loved strangers, and after them I will go. In other words, I've got this debilitating sin nature, and even though I don't like it, I'm going to keep going after these things. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. And that can discourage a person. When you have one of those things in your life, you say, Lord, I'll never do this again, and then you do it again. And that can bring you to a feeling of hopelessness. There's no hope. I want to please God, and I keep doing the thing I say I'd never do. Well, Paul said the same thing, didn't he? But then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, right? Speaking of that, Karen preached an awesome sermon along this line about 2 weeks ago for me, and it was called Nailed It. It's at ffcth.org. Go to the sermon link. You can hear it. And one of the things she said in there I really liked, which has nothing to do with the sermon, but I got to plug it because it's really good. She talked about little doors that you put your sins you've asked God to forgive you in, and then you put the door on it, little shelves and the doors and the lock, so that, you know, because we're so bad about bringing up our past, aren't we? We're so bad about, even though God forgave us, reliving the things that we said we'd never do. And so anyway, check it out. So these people said there's no hope because I keep doing what I've always done. And then there's Jonah. Who could forget Jonah? In 4:8 it says, it came to pass, the sun arose, and that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on the head of Jonah, and he fainted, and he wished in himself to die, and said, it's better for me to die than to live. Lord, just take me out of here. I don't want to play anymore. I'm tired. You know, all of this because the sun came up and beat on his bald head. Was Jonah bald-headed? Did it say if he's bald-headed? I don't know if he was or not. Most of those Old Testament prophets were bald-headed for some reason. Don't ask me why. Ephesians 2:12 tells us that at the time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I tell you, that is the formula for hopelessness, is not having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, isn't it? You know, as Christians, we get depressed, but when you think about your life before you became a Christian, you didn't even have anybody to go through when you were going to this. You know, the only person that was going to help you was yourself. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, you know, bless God, I can do this, I'm strong, you know. And you know what? And they say that, you know, Jesus or Christianity is a crutch. Well, you know what? I'm glad I got someone to lean on in times of trouble. But before we were Christians, we had no hope. There was literally no hope. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us the three things that abide forever are faith, hope, and love, right? And the greatest of these is love. Well, our love for God is our hope. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. And that's the other thing about the people who are not saved or born again, is that when they die, they have no hope. There's no hope, but we have a blessed promise of the resurrection, amen, that they that die in the Lord will live on. Jesus said, he that lives and believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. And so we have a hope, the hope of the resurrection. Now, then there's Solomon. Solomon wrote the book on hopelessness. Here's a man who decided, I'm going to do everything I can do to experience life. And had they had drugs back then, he probably would have done drugs. Who knows, they might have had something they chewed on or smelled or smoked, probably even back then, right? But there was all these women, and he did everything under the sun to find out all the joys of life. And when it was all over with, he said, man, this is bad. This is bad. Ecclesiastes 2:17, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, you could have all the money, all the riches, all the fame, all the women for men, men for women. You could have everything you could have and still not be happy. Because happiness is not based on what you have or what you do. Happiness comes from God. Joy comes from the Lord. Amen. And then back to Job one last time before we move on out of this depressing sermon. So Job 27:8, for what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he has gained when God takes away his soul, right? So even if you got everything, and even if you do live it up, even if you're Bill Gates or somebody else, and you got all the money in the world, anything you want, there's going to come a day when the death rattle in the throat is there, when you're too weak to enjoy anything you have, and all of a sudden, you face eternity without God. Pretty scary. You know, growing up, most of you know I kind of like science fiction, and I remember reading Isaac Asimov, who wrote the Foundation Trilogy, and a lot of great science fiction books, and some not so great. I remember he said he always joked that he would die with his nose between the G and the H of his typewriter. And I remember him writing a foreword to a story in some sci-fi magazine, and he talked about how he didn't have the strength to get out of bed. He was in congestive heart failure. And, you know, people can joke about life, but when you're about to face death, all of a sudden, it's all changed, isn't it? And so, having said all that, let's try to move on here, shall we? So here's God's advice. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. You know, what else is there to hope in? Jesus told a story about a guy who built a house, and the rain came and the floods rose, and he didn't have any kind of foundation to the thing. And all of a sudden, it fell. But there's this other guy, he said, who dug down deep, hit the bedrock, put some foundation there so the house would stand, and when the rain came and the flood rose, the house stood. Now, that is a picture of what it means to read your Bible and do what it says. That's what Jesus said. A lot of people just remember the story. They don't remember the point of the story. I will liken it to a man who hears my words and does it. He's like a man who builds his house on the rock, right? And so our hope has to be in the Lord. It can't be in, well, our wisdom. Well, I'm a pretty smart guy. I can get through this. No. The only hope we can have is a hope in the Lord. Amen. That's building your house on the rock. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. I love that verse, because if you've ever blown it, the only thing you can ask for is mercy. Amen. I think it was Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet, said, in wrath, remember mercy. You know, that's what the kid does when his mom catches him in the cookie jar after warning him three times, and she's got the paddle in her hand. Mom, 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 please. You know, in wrath, remember mercy. Even though I deserve the whipping, I'd rather have mercy. Right? And so the psalmist says, the eyes of the Lord is on them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. You know, if it wasn't for the mercies of God, none of us could face tomorrow. None of us could make it. Psalm 39:7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. My hope is in thee. Isn't that a great song Nola sings every once in a while? What's the name of that song, Nola? My hope is in thee. Our hope is in you. I don't know. Caught her off guard. There you go. Psalm 42:11. I love Psalm 42. This is a great cure for discouragement or depression. I encourage you to read the whole psalm. The psalmist says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Remember, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion, right? And wouldn't it be great if we could all be like Spock on Star Trek? That we would never be bothered by emotions. How many of you guys have ever been tossed like a ship to and fro by your emotions? I want to see hands. Come on. Every one of us, right? I mean, I don't think we got any Vulcans in here. We're all subject to emotion. And the psalmist understands that, so he's talking to his emotions. It's biblical to talk to your soul because you have a mind that has to talk to your mind, your will, and emotions. Your will, your spirit man, has to take control over your mind, your will, and emotions. And he says, "Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." There is so much in this verse we could spend a half an hour talking about. I'll just spend a few minutes. He says, first of all, you have to hope in God. We already kind of established that. And then he says, I shall yet praise him. And, you know, we know that we're supposed to praise him in the good times and the bad times. And oftentimes just praising him in the bad times will lift your spirit. But you don't necessarily feel like praising him in the bad times. When you are feeling hopeless, the last thing you're thinking of is, well, I think I'll just shout and dance and clap my hands, right? You don't feel like doing that. So the psalmist is being real. He's not being super Joe spiritual. He's being real. He's saying, I don't feel like praising him now, but I know there's a time down the road when I will. And I love that because that's faith, isn't it? I remember when my kids were little, we used to have a Christian bookstore over here. How many of you guys remember when the Christian bookstore was right over here, right? And they had videos you could rent. And I was thinking about how my children were approaching the teen years. Actually, Kaylee was quite a few years away. Harrison was a little closer. And the thought of depression that really captures teenagers, you know, the reason teen suicide happens is because when they're going through that period of life, all of their puberty and all that, everything is higher and lower. You know, the highs are higher and the lows are lower, and that's why you see teen suicide so often. And so they had a video, this is VHS days, a video of James Dobson talking to teenagers about this. And he explained how you're going through that period of time, your highs are higher and your lows are lower. And so you can be up super on the mountaintop one day, and then you can have suicidal thoughts the next day because you got a pimple or something, right? And we can laugh about that, but it's not laughable if someone is feeling that way. It's serious. And so one of the things he said is as he just repeated this to this group of teenagers he was talking to in this video, is he explained how the emotions go on a sine curve, a cycle, you know, like this, and how you will have a high and you will have a low, but you will have a high and then you'll have a low and then you'll have a high and then you'll have a low. And so the idea is when I'm at the low, I don't live at the low because I know tomorrow I'm going to have a high again or next week, right? And so that's what the psalmist said, I shall yet praise him. And so I remember that night tucking Kaylee in and saying to her, you know, in a few years you might have a boyfriend and you might have a pimple and he might break up with you and go out with your best friend. What are you going to do? She goes, I'm not going to do nothing, Daddy, because it'll change in a few days. And I said, you got it. That's right. Now, you know, if we could all just remember that, right? The psalmist said, I shall yet praise him. I may be going through a valley right now. I may be feeling hopelessness right now. But God is the author of my tomorrow. And he will get me through the valley, and I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. Praise God. You know, God is the health of my countenance. And psychologists can do a lot, and I have nothing against psychologists. And they can help to a point, but Jesus Christ is the health of my countenance. He will help me through this, and he will give me joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 71:5, you're my hope, O Lord. You are my trust from my youth. I'm going to hit a few of these kind of quick because there's still a lot to talk about here. Psalm 146:5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Joel 3:16, the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. And so So we get the idea. We know what it's like to be hopeless. We know that the Lord is our hope. And so, again, thinking about coming into the holiday season for Karen, unfortunately, Mom isn't going to be here this year. And some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have lost various things. And so as we approach this time of year, when it's about family and friends and love, and if there's a void in your life, we recognize that Satan will want to capitalize on this. Amen. And so we have to go into the spiritual warfare mode in this time of potential hopelessness. Now, so let's look at in depth now a few more verses this morning. Romans 4:18 is about Abraham. And it says, Romans 4:18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now we have to really look at what was going on in Abraham's life where it says, who against hope believed in hope. God had the audacity to promise this really old guy that he would have a son, and out of his son would become a whole nation. Now, if Abraham was 22, cool. If he was 44, maybe. But when you're knocking on 100, you're like, you gotta be kidding me, right? You know, I mean, nobody has babies at my age. And so, what God has said to him is that, I'm going to tell you something that in the natural is hopeless. This just doesn't happen. And so you can take your situation and now you can step over into Abraham's shoes and you can understand why Abraham is called the father of faith. Because he, in a hopeless situation, hoped against hope. That's what Romans 4:18 says. Against hope, believed in hope, right? You know, we throw around, I'm a believer, I believe in the Lord, I believe in Jesus, I believe all these things. But when you're in a hopeless situation, if you believe in Jesus, you believe in hope, right? And that's what it says, Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope. He didn't necessarily know how God was going to do it, but he had the audacity to believe that there was hope in a hopeless situation. Now, I doubt that the Lord is going to come to any of us in our old age and tell us we're going to have a kid. But at any time in our life, we may face a hopeless situation, just as hopeless as Abraham faced way back then. And he is the father of faith to encourage us that we need to believe in hope if we say we believe in Jesus. Amen? Hope needs to be our anchor against hopelessness. And so when we face hopeless situations that seem impossible by any nature of the imagination, we need to remember how Abraham handled it. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to believe that. As ridiculous as it sounds, as hopeless as the situation may seem, I'm going to believe that there is hope in a hopeless situation. Praise God. I want to be like Abraham, don't you? And so Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now, one of the things that Abraham did was waver. You know, I used to feel bad sometimes when my faith wavered. And then I got to looking at all of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament, and just about every one of them had a period of wavering in their faith. You know, when Isaac didn't come along, by the time he thought he should have, his wife said, why don't you just help God out? And, you know, and he produced an Ishmael, which we're still seeing consequences of that to this day, right? So we don't need to help God out, but we're often tempted to help God out because the promise doesn't always come when we think it should. And we say, well, you know, I got great hope today, and I have really high hope this week, and for 6 months I had pretty high hope, and after 2 years I had medium hope, and after 12 years my hope was getting a little low. And so we might produce an Ishmael in our life like he did. So it's okay for your faith to waver, but hang on. Because if God said it, he'll do it. And if he promised, he'll bring it to pass. He's a God who always keeps His word. I may not keep my word, you may not keep your word, but God always keeps His word. Amen? And so Abraham, against hope, believed hope. Now, another verse from Romans 8:24. We are saved by hope. See, if you ask someone, what do you say? Well, by the blood. Right. Okay, well, Jesus died for the whole world, but not everybody's going to go to heaven. Because you have to then take faith and hope and put hope in the blood and put hope in the finished work of the cross. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope? And so we, again, in a hopeless situation, we have to have hope, because if we can see the answer, that's not hope. How many of you guys remember the old Good News Bible translation? One of the things, not too many people remember those. One of the things they had in those, they had these cool little stick figure drawings all throughout there, right? And one of my favorite ones that have been burned into my memory is from the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, faith is substance, things hoped for, the evidence, things not seen. And it showed this little drawing of this dude that's climbing up a rock face. And he's climbed all this way up, but now the rock face is coming out like this, and there's trees growing out of it, and he's looking up at it like, man, I don't know about this. But from the vantage point up here, right above is this little oasis with a little flamingo on one leg, you know, just standing there looking so cool, little palm trees, you know. But he can't see that. He doesn't know that's up there. All he sees is this rock face, and he's made it this far, but how's he going to get out of this without falling to his death? And he don't even know what's up there. If he knew what was up there, he would probably have a little more energy to keep going. But he can't see it. But if he could see it, it wouldn't be hope. And so you know what? There is an oasis over the next horizon for you and me. There is a heaven. There is a peace that passes understanding. There is a joy unspeakable. And there is no problem in your life that God can't handle. You just got to keep hope, holding on to hope. You can't quit now. You've made it too far. You got to keep holding on. Because right over that next mountain, right over that next hill, right past that next valley, God is waiting with an oasis for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, I preach sermons from the New Testament to communicate doctrine, but most of the sermons I preach from the Old Testament, and you should read those Old Testament stories because they communicate the character and nature of God. And you know, we say, well, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you more, right? But you got to read those Old Testament stories, because in it you see the character and nature of God in those stories. When David prayed, Absalom, Absalom, my son, and he cried when Absalom was killed, we see the heart of God the Father, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. When you see how long God waited before he brought the flood in Noah's day, you see the patience of God, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And so Romans 15:4 talks about our learning that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Now, when Paul wrote this, the only Scriptures were the Old Testament. And so that the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might bring us hope. And so if you're feeling hopelessness, here's your homework. Go read some of those great old stories in the Old Testament. Read about David, and read about Noah, and read about 1 Kings, Elijah and Elisha and these guys. And read about how they held on in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of apostasy, in the midst of famine, that they had hope that God was going to see them through. And some of them even slipped, like Elijah, you know, when he ran from Jezebel and saying, Lord, I've been faithful to you and I'm the only one. And then finally God says, dude, you're not the only one. I got thousands of others hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. Suck it up and be strong. It's okay. It's all right. Colossians 1:5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. You know, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so even if your life is really, really bad this holiday season, one day you and I will walk on streets of gold. I read this week about Jesus sending the 70 out to preach and cast out demons, and they all came back all, "Woo-hoo, man, we got power over the devil." And Jesus said, don't rejoice that you have power over the devil, that your name is written in heaven. And you know, this morning, if you're a born-again believer, your name is written in heaven. There is some part of you already there. Your name is already on the books. You've got a reservation paid for by Jesus Christ, written in His own blood. Your name is written in heaven. And sometimes, in our deepest hour, all we can do is hold on to that and just say, Lord, all I can do is hold on, because I know one day I'm going to shed the grief and the tears and the loneliness and the depression and the discouragement. And I know it's all going to go away when I step into the courts of heaven and see you face to face. Praise God. And so we're going to end, come on up, Nola, with Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have nothing else to hold on to, remember, we're looking for the blessed hope. One day, very soon, we will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, and wow. What can I say, Lord? We live in a time of so many perils, so much pressure on our life emotionally, even physically. We have sickness, we have illness within and without, depression within and without. And we could get pretty discouraged, Lord. We could get pretty depressed, and we could feel pretty hopeless if it wasn't for you. Our prayer today, Lord, is that you would help us to remember Abraham, who is our example, who against hope believed in hope, who just had the audacity to say, Lord, I just believe. I don't know how you're going to get me through this circumstance, and I don't know how you're going to fix it. And Lord, this mountain in front of me seems so big. And it makes me so discouraged at times, Lord. But I want to be like Abraham. Even though the situation may seem hopeless, Lord, I want to have hope in hope. I'm going to believe in hope, knowing that you're the answer and that you'll see me through. If you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you'd just like me to pray for you, maybe you're going through a hopeless situation right now. I'm not going to ask you to come up. Nobody's looking around. Just slip your hand up and back down so I can pray for you. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? All right. God bless you. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, I pray for that person or persons. Maybe they lifted their hand. Maybe they didn't. But what they're going through, Lord, or what they're about to go through may seem overwhelming. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them the Abrahamic faith to believe that you're going to see them through. Encourage them, strengthen them, Lord. Give them peace. Help them, Lord, to have that confident assurance that whatever they go through, I shall yet praise him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to want to praise him. I'm going to feel like praising him. I'm going to get through this by the power, the grace, and the mercies of God. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Would you like to sing that song, Sooner Better Soon?
Sure, why not? Soon
and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
I think we started the wrong key somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, probably.
Well, soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon. I don't know. Sorry, messed up.
That's all right. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and give the Lord a hand clap of praise, shall we? Thank you for coming. And give someone a big hug before you go.